Today we're going to talk about legacy, a word that we don't really throw around in everyday language. But what comes to mind when you think about legacy? I mean, have you ever really thought about it? Have you ever thought about the legacy you're leaving? Because the reality is you're going to leave one. So what does that mean for your family? What does that mean for your community? What does that mean for your world? Most people don't think about legacy, so let's define it. Webster's Dictionary defines legacy as something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past. So some common examples of legacy are, she left us $1 million, and I hope she does that for me. He left his children a legacy of love and respect. The war left a legacy of pain and suffering. Her artistry left a legacy through the lives, through her children. Those are just some examples of legacy. And the reality is we're all going to leave one. And there are only two types of legacy that you can leave: a positive one and a negative one. And most people never consider to choose and then live their life trying to create that legacy. Most of the time, it just happens. But what if we could choose? What if we decided today that we wanted to leave a legacy? Would we choose a positive or a negative one? I think I can answer the question for you. We all probably want to leave a positive legacy. Well, what if today we left with clear instructions and marching orders on how to do just that? Well, today we're going to begin that journey, that step, or as we say, that next step towards a legacy that will allow you to leave a legacy to your kids, to your neighborhood, hopefully to the world, that you can impact the most. So what if we did? What if today truly changed all of our tomorrows? Would we want to walk towards that kind of life? Well, I have some good news. We can. We can walk towards that legacy. We can take those steps. But before we look at that scripture, and before we talk about it, just like we ask you to do, before you go to the Word, we're going to pray and ask God to speak to us through it this morning. So God, just come. Speak to us through your Word this morning. Let us honor you. And God, prepare our hearts. Even remind us what we're doing now to leave a legacy. And let us know, is that a positive or a negative one? Because God, we want to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're joining us for the first time, I haven't talked about this. We do have some memory verse cards in the back. We do this for every single series. We have a memory verse for the series, and on the back we have a reading plan. We are walking through every major theme in Scripture throughout the entire year. We're in the New Testament. And so if you want to pick one of those up, you can just start right where we are. Sundays start that week's reading plan. So the idea is later you're going to read this exact story that we're going to talk about today. Hopefully that just adds to your quiet time. And to go with that, we have what we call Disciples Bibles. It's the same translation that we teach out of, same one we read as a staff, and I read on my quiet time. They're absolutely free, so grab one in the back. You can do that now or on your way out. We encourage you to do that. And there's a Here journal. It helps with your quiet time. It explains all of that in that Bible. So I can't encourage you enough to grab one of those. If you have a Bible, you can turn to page 1475, where we're going to be jumping into the story. But let me set it up. Jesus has just been crucified, and he is now buried. And there are soldiers that are guarding this tomb to make sure that the Jesus' body is not stolen, nothing happens to it. Which means they're doing everything they can to make it as secure as possible. They don't want anybody to come in and get this body. This brings us to chapter 28 in Matthew, and this is what it says. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him, they became like dead men. Because of the Sabbath, the day of rest, they had to wait till Sunday, which is why Mary and Mary come to the tomb on a Sunday at dawn. And their hope was just to anoint the body of Jesus. This anointing the body was just a sign of love, devotion, respect. It's bringing spices to a tomb would be like bringing flowers to a grave this day and age. In the Gospel of Mark, all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament, simply tell the story of the life of Jesus through those particular lenses. We read that as they're on their way to the tomb, they're really concerned with how they're going to get into the tomb because, again, it's closed by this large stone. But then a supernatural earthquake comes with an angel of the Lord. The angel rolls back the stone and is sitting on it. So you hear me say this a lot. Insert yourself into the story. You're Mary and Mary. You experience a violent earthquake and you see an angel sitting on a stone. That would be quite frightening. But he's just chilling, hanging out, waiting for them to get there. I think that the Roman soldiers are so afraid that they're like dead men, which is where I think we get the phrase scared to death. And here comes the woman. Thanks, I appreciate that laugh. Maybe I'll say it again and we'll cut out all that and you guys can laugh. This is where we get the phrase scared to death. Woo. But here comes the women. And this is what it says. The angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you." So again, the angel's sitting back, he's chilling, waiting for him to get here. They get there and say, "Hey, Jesus, who you're looking for, he's not there, he's risen." And then he says, "Come on in, come into the tomb, check it out, see that the body's not lying there. Jesus has been risen from the, just like he said." He already told the disciples this was going to happen, but they must have forgotten. Mary and Mary must have forgotten, because here they are. So he's doing everything he said, reminding them all that Jesus promised is coming to pass. His promise is true. The women came to anoint the body, but he's not there. Instead, they're given new marching orders. Go and proclaim to the frightened disciples that Jesus is risen. Because the disciples have deserted Jesus. But now they're directed, "Hey, he's risen, go to Galilee," which is exactly, again, what Jesus told them to do in the Last Supper. This is what it says as we continue our story. "So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus told them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there.'" The women quickly do exactly what they were told. They run from the tomb, realizing they'd been in the presence of an angel, realizing that they'd just witnessed the miracle of the empty tomb. Their fear, they're filled with mixture of fear and joy, and they obey the angel's command, and they run into Jesus on the way. Jesus appears, they grab hold of his feet, which sounds weird to us, but that's really a Near Eastern custom, and they worshiped him, giving public respect to the Savior, their Lord, and their King. And Jesus says, "Go tell my brothers," which of course means his disciples. This shows that Jesus has forgiven the disciples for disbelief and fear and running and disappearing. Even after they denied and deserted him, Jesus is like, "No, you're good." And this message was them now to leave for Galilee. Jesus sent the women because, again, the disciples were fearful, as you read in John chapter 20. So Jesus meets them exactly where he tells them. And as they're on their way, the news about the rolled stone and the empty tomb is starting to get out. Jesus is now missing, which I'll say again in a minute, is their worst fear. This is what Scripture says. "As they were on their way, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders and agreed on a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money." These same soldiers that were so afraid they were like dead men. "And told them, 'Say this, his disciples came during the night and stole him while we were sleeping. If this reaches the governor's ears, he will deal with him and keep you out of trouble.' They took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has spread among Jewish people to this day." The resurrection of Jesus is already causing a commotion in Jerusalem. A group of women were moving quickly through the streets, telling everybody, looking for the disciples, this amazing news that Jesus is alive. The same guards who were guarding the tomb were now on their way to the priest, and they tell him everything that happened. And this is important because if they were Roman guards under Roman law, they would be sentenced. They would have paid for their lives to fall asleep on the job and allow this to happen. Since they were assigned to the Jewish authorities, they went to the religious leaders badly in need of a cover-up. They needed an excuse because the worst fears of the religious leaders to come true. The one thing they didn't want to happen was the thing Jesus said would happen, which is he's going to raise from the dead. They didn't want anybody to steal the body. But here they are. The body of Jesus is gone. And instead of concerning themselves with the claims that Jesus truly was the Messiah, that he is risen, instead of going, maybe he was right, he is that guy, instead they decide, you know what, we're going to bribe these soldiers in order to explain why the body is missing. Their story is that the disciples came during the night and stole his body. And there are still people that believe this lie today. And honestly, this seems pretty logical on the surface, but it's really not thought out when you really spend some time and think through this. Why would the disciples, who had already run off in fear because of his arrest, risk everything to return at night to a guarded and sealed tomb in an effort to steal his body? If they're caught, they easily could be sentenced to death themselves. But for argument's sake, let's say they do this. They get there, they move the stone, they steal the body, they somehow get past these guards. Why would they have really taken the time to unwrap the body of Jesus? It said his linens were laying there. Not to mention, if that occurred, the guards have to be really, really deep sleepers to sleep through the whole thing of somebody moving a large stone out of the way. And again, if they're sleeping, how could they possibly know what happened? How would they really know if this even happened? Why didn't the religious leaders then, if this was the story, just simply go and arrest the disciples and have them persecuted? This story is full of holes. Not to mention, the guards would have to admit their own negligence by saying, we slept on the job. So the news starts to spread, and the only way they try to kill it was with this bribe. It gets circulated among the people. Apparently, they don't think through these holes either. Many of them believe, and the soldiers are just paid off to tell and retell the story. Nonetheless, the disciples finally get the news. It says, the 11 disciples traveled to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. The disciples arrive right where Jesus says, and now the women tell them to go, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Those were the last three words. But even in the doubts, as we continue to read the stories, we'll continue on, we know that eventually they all become convinced and they believe in Jesus. Now, this is important because we talked about doubt and unbelief several weeks ago. I encourage you to go back and listen to that message. But many of us are still dealing with doubt of who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and what Jesus is doing. And if that's you, I encourage you just to be honest with Jesus. He already knows your doubts and questions. Just bring them to him and then say, ask him, will you help me overcome my unbelief? Here we see the disciples worship Jesus, and then Jesus finally speaks to them. Jesus came near to them and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore. What's the therefore? Therefore. Because God has had all this authority in him. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. This is known as the Great Commission. And we know this in life. When somebody is dying or leaving, we pay close attention to their last words. And Jesus leaves them with some last words and some instructions. God gave Jesus complete authority over heaven and on earth. And on the basis of his authority, Jesus tells his disciples then to go and make disciples of all the nations, preaching, baptizing, and teaching. The disciple, as we like to describe it or define it, is a learner of Jesus. It's a lifelong process. This lifelong process isn't something that you finally arrive to. You continue to learn, to emulate, to be like Jesus. There isn't a one-time test to pass. It's a continued lifelong thing. Making disciples means instructing, teaching, showing new believers how to follow Jesus, how to do what Jesus did, how to submit to Jesus' lordship and leadership, how to take up his mission of compassionate service. Making disciples is about helping other people become a lifelong learner like you are, as well as imparting our learnings onto them. This is why we have a mission statement that says, making disciples who go to the missing, love the marginalized, and live as God's kids. It's our expression of this. This is why we offer our discipleship pathway classes. Three different pathway classes go over each one of those. Go, love, and live. This is why we encourage you to do it, so we can equip you the best way we know how to be a learner of Jesus, how to actually do this in your life and how we express it here in the church. We want to equip everyone to be learners of Jesus and learn how to equip others to do the same. But he also says baptism, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is also an important part of being a disciple. Baptism is important because it unites us with Jesus Christ in our death to our sin and our resurrection to new life. We're a new creation. Baptism symbolizes submission to Jesus. Baptism is agreeing to live God's way. These are the final words Jesus left his disciples as he ascends to heaven. Go and do, not just know and hope. A life of continual learning. Learning to tell others about who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and what he still wants to do. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Learning to continue be obedient, which we talked about last week, to the things that God has asked us to do. Learning how to seek God's wisdom, not just in his word, but we want to apply it to our lives, in our marriages, with our kids, in our careers, every part of our life. Learning to trust Jesus, his word. Learning to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Learning to repent and ask for forgiveness. Learning how to tell others how much God loves them. Learning how to love people who don't act like us. Learning how to extend grace, and mercy, unmerited favor to people who don't deserve it. Learning how to love people who don't have the same political beliefs we do. Learning how to love people who have different lifestyles than we do. Even learning how to love people who have different theological beliefs than we do. Because of the central belief that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. That's the legacy he left. What a model he's provided for us to die to ourselves and live in Christ. And this is the good news. We can decide today, right now, we can make that decision that we want to be a part of that legacy. And every time we continue to learn more about Jesus and put it into practice, every time we take the words of Jesus serious, we are purposefully deciding in those moments and acting on the Great Commission. It truly is the greatest legacy we could ever leave. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That's everybody. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. I think often we forget that last part. And let us remember, Jesus is always with us to the end of the age. That means always. Even when we don't feel like he's with us, he is. Even when we've fallen short, Jesus is with us. Even when we have sinned, he is with us. Even when we've lost our way, he is with us. Which also means that he is with us as we continue to learn more about him. He is with us as we continue on his amazing legacy. He's also with us as we do the work he's commanded us to do. Help people also learn about who he is, what he did, and what he's doing. And I can promise you this, there is nothing more exciting to watch than someone coming alive in Christ, someone getting to know who Jesus is and what he sacrificed, what he did, how much he loves him. There's nothing more powerful than watching someone repent and ask Jesus forgiveness and watch what Jesus starts to do in their lives. There's nothing that brings more life than being a part of someone continuing to follow and know Jesus. When you watch others become learners of Jesus because God has used you in their journey in some way, not only is that a part of your legacy, it's a part of the legacy of Jesus. There's nothing more positive than that. But we still have a choice. We can choose not to do this. It's truly your individual choice. Is that what you want your legacy to be? Because the reality is, anything less or other than Jesus is the other kind of legacy. It's a negative one, because that one is going to end in death and not eternal life. And this morning, right now, we have an opportunity to share the good news. And that, my friends, is the best news you can get. But the question comes back to us. What do we truly believe? Do we believe, as we sang, that God is our provider in all aspects? That Jesus truly died on a cross for our sins? That he rose from the dead? He defeated Satan. He defeated death, and therefore our belief in him allows us to do the same. We say yes, we're no longer a slave to sin, Scripture says. Doesn't mean we won't sin. We no longer need to be a slave to it. We have a helper. We have the Holy Spirit that when we read the Scripture illuminates the truth, that when we live our lives reminds us of the truth. And we get to act because all authority has been given to him. And Jesus says, I'm going to send you a helper, which we'll talk about next week. And what does that Holy Spirit look like in our lives, and how do we act on it? This is why we do things like hearing God's voice, so that you can learn how to hear God's voice better. And even if you've done it once, you should do it again, because you just learn how to hear better. That's the great news of Jesus. Will you go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations? Will you baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Do you believe all the authority has been given to Jesus, and therefore we can walk in his authority? If so, today make the decision that you want to do everything you can to be a learner of who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and what he has asked us to do, to walk in his footprints and his path. Grab your Connect cards that I talked about earlier for some next steps here in the message. Again, whatever next steps you took earlier, you can drop that in the offering in just a minute. I'm going to offer you some next steps now that you can take right out of this message and apply them so that your Sunday does impact your Monday. And if you have a next step you felt like God's asked you to do something, I encourage you to write that down, drop it in the offering when it goes by in just a few minutes, and we'll follow up with you where it's appropriate. But I truly believe when we write things down, we're more likely to do them. And the first one is this: accept Christ for the first time. Maybe today's the day for the first time you truly say yes to Jesus. That's the legacy you want to live in. That's the legacy you want to live. And you're going to say, God, I'm just sorry. I am sorry for all the wrong I've done in my life, which the Bible calls sin. Anything that's against God is sin. Anything that doesn't align with Scripture. You say, God, I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for being the author of my own life and my own king. God, you're the king. You're the savior. And so I submit my life to you. And if you've made that decision, you just notate that on the Connect card, drop it in. We want to follow up with you. Again, there's great information, free books and everything in the back, absolutely free to everybody back there. The second one is this: choose the legacy of Jesus. Choose the legacy of Jesus, that you want to be a lifelong learner of Jesus, and you want to put into practice the things that you already know. And as you learn, you do. And when you don't, we repent. I'm not perfect. I miss a lot of opportunities to be obedient. I repent. I ask for forgiveness and say, God, give me another opportunity. Open another door. Help me step into a conversation. That's what it looks like each and every day. Sign up for the next discipleship pathway class. It's the love of the marginalized. If you've not taken that one, I encourage you to do so. You don't even have to be a believer. Like, Andy, I don't know if I've taken that one. Great, go to your binder. Look in there and see if you've taken that class or not. Even if you have, you can sign up. That's the last Sunday in September. Write that on your Connect card. We'll follow up with you the information. It's right after church. We'll feed you lunch. The third one is this: receive prayer. You can do that multiple ways. If you're online, you're watching with somebody else, pray for each other. You can email us at prayer@blueashcc.com. You can write out your prayers on the Connect card. But even more practically, you can come up and receive prayer from our prayer teams. Jesus himself said, some things only happen through prayer. So I believe that when you don't come up for prayer in obedience, meaning you feel stirred, that you're thinking about it, you're too worried about what other people are thinking, that maybe God wants to do something right then and right there. Maybe God's spirit is just ready to explode in your life. You ever seen those videos where they have a watermelon and they put like rubber bands around it over and over and over? I do like to watch those because of the explosion and the reaction. What if that's like God ready to explode in you? And it's just one more rubber band that needs to happen. I don't know. Maybe that happens through prayer today. Just trusting. The last is this, the memory verse. We talk about that. The memory verse for every series. Just spend a few minutes writing scripture into your heart, because we want to get into the Word till the Word gets into us. And then watch as God starts to bring those things to the surface when you needed it the most, when you're reminded that he is the resurrection and the life. And then he asks the question at the end of our memory verse, do you believe this? And do we? Does our life represent that? Does it show that to other people? And if not, we want it to. We repent and ask God for forgiveness and guidance and leadership. They're going to go ahead and collect our offering. If you want to drop your Connect cards in there, offering that you have. If you came today, you want to give, but you didn't come prepared, you can simply grab the envelope that's in the seat backs. We've taken care of the postage. You can mail it in later. Of course, you can go online, bacc.give.com, and all the ways to give are there as well. One last thing I want to talk about is communion. When you walked in, you had an opportunity to grab some communion elements. If you didn't do that, you want to, you can just go up and get one now. But we do this almost every week, because we want to be reminded of what was sacrificed for each and every one of our lives. And so the wafer represents the body of Jesus that was broken, and the juice represents his blood that was shed for each and every one of us, that he took on our sin so we could live. He died, he rose again, he defeated death. And this is a reminder that we are in Christ. Christ is in us. So don't go through the motions in this, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Don't just go, well, this is what we do every week. Sit in that for a minute. Go, no, Jesus, his son, his only son, died a death we deserved because of his love for you and for me. Let me pray. God, thanks for another story that just shows your compassion, your grace and your mercy, the way you forgive. Your closest friends deserted you and fled. You forgave them. And even beyond that, you believed in them so much that you asked them to carry on your work. So God, help us do the same. Thanks for believing in each and every one of us enough to die on a cross, to defeat death, to rise again, to send your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that Jesus walked in, he lives in us. So help us leave the legacy of you, where our lives are such a model that we speak about you in such a way that people say yes to you. Thanks for being the ultimate recruiter. And all we need to do is be obedient to the things you have commanded us. In Jesus' name I pray.